Invite you to be seated. So there's a Christian calendar, whether you're aware of it or not. It's been around for centuries and centuries, way back to the early Christian church. And today actually is the last Sunday in that church year. And so what it is a celebration of Jesus the King. And that's why we've been talking about the last few weeks, the end times. We've been talking about heaven, you know, the signs of the end of times Jesus talks about. And so today we are going to talk about Judgment Day and what role Jesus the King is going to have on that day. And to do that, we are going to take a look at the events of Good Friday. Now, maybe you're thinking, how can Good Friday give us a picture of the last day? Just hold on to that thought. So we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 23, the events of that very first Good Friday, starting with verse 32. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him, Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. So what do we learn about our King here? This is our King. Our King died in the most humiliating of ways. We talked about it before. Crucifixion was a horrible way to die. They did everything they could to dehumanize the person. Jesus would have been naked when he was crucified. They did everything they possibly could to humiliate the person that was being crucified. And this is what our King went through. And we're told here that he was led to a place called the Skull. Well, this is a mountain, also known as Golgotha or Calvary, as you know, and this is where the Romans crucified thousands of people on top of this mountain. I have a picture here. This is Golgotha now because they have a church on top of it. And so you can't really see it, but in the lower right-hand corner and the lower left-hand corner is actual rock. That's the actual part of Golgotha. And then they have, of course, this church there. This is the altar. And underneath that altar, you can crawl and put your hand through and touch Golgotha. That was a very powerful moment for us that went to Israel. It was a very unique and powerful moment to be able to touch the spot, touch the mountain where our King was crucified. And so Luke also gives us some more details here. He tells us that two criminals were crucified along with Jesus. The fact that Luke brings this detail up is very interesting. And let me tell you why. So take a look at this passage in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. And it says this. Isaiah 53, a little context here, is all about the coming Savior, the coming Messiah, the one that God has promised from the beginning. This chapter is all about Jesus. And here's what this verse says. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. So that line right there, numbered with the transgressors, is telling us that Jesus, our King, our Savior, is going to be killed along with sinners who are deserving of it. And so that's the picture we're getting here from Luke. These two guys went along with Jesus and were crucified. And it tells us that one of the criminals was on his left, one was on his right. And so I have a picture here, and it's not just so that we can have cool pictures of the three crosses on Golgotha, that we are told that there's three. Remember what I continue to say is that there's nothing wasted in Scripture. Nothing's wasted in the Bible. This isn't there just for the fun of it, that there's three crosses, Jesus being in the middle, and Luke points out one's on the left, one's on the right. More on this in a second. Let's go back to Scripture here and follow along in Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him that said, "This is the King of the Jews." And all of this was simply to mock Jesus. And so what do we learn about our King, our Savior here? We learn that our King forgives. As he's being mocked and nailed to the cross. Pretty awesome King we have, isn't it? In the midst of all the carnage, the blood, the death. And by the way, one of the reasons they call this mountain the skull is because of all the people that died there. There's probably human skulls laying around on top of this mountain. And this is where our Savior, our King, died. And what's interesting is one of the ways that the people and the soldiers mocked Jesus was calling him the King of the Jews, like I said, not realizing that Jesus is not only the King, he's the King of Kings. And you know what? Even though, you know, it's always easy to look at this scene on Good Friday and say, you know, it's horrible. It's sad how our Savior was treated. Couldn't he have died another way? Well, remember the crimson thread through the whole Bible. It's been the same from the beginning. Like I mentioned in Confession and Absolution, to cover sin is a big deal. God hates it. And it's always taken a life and shed blood to cover sin. This is why Jesus had to go through what he went through. And so even though you and I weren't physically there that first Good Friday, we literally were holding that hammer as the nails were being driven in. We were there helping put that sign up, mocking Jesus. We were very much a part of why Jesus was on that cross, as anybody else. And so let's go on here. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 and following. One of the criminals who was hanged railed at Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Remember, these two criminals were on either side of Jesus on their own crosses, dying along with Jesus. And I'm willing to say, even though we don't know for sure, but the one on the right was the one who stood up for Jesus, and the one on the left is the one that railed at Jesus. And here's why I think that. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 and 33. I have it up on the screen. This is Jesus explaining what's going to happen on the last day when Jesus, the king, is going to be the judge. And Jesus is saying this is what's going to happen when we go up and meet him in the clouds. We talked about that last week. Jesus is going to come back in a cloud on that last day. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And so what we are seeing here on Good Friday, that first Good Friday, is indeed a picture of what's going to happen on Judgment Day. Criminal one, the one that railed at Jesus, didn't even realize probably the prophetic words, they're almost prophetic words that he was speaking when he said, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Well, guess what? He was saving them. He was saving them from their sins. So what we are seeing is a picture of Judgment Day, except on Good Friday, that first Good Friday, the judgment was being taken out on Jesus. The wrath of God was being taken out on Jesus instead of you and I. And so we confess our sins along with those two, with criminal number two, the one that stood up for Jesus, we confess our sins too, realizing that we do deserve death because of our sins. This criminal realized that he was getting what was due him. He deserved it. And you know what? You and I deserve death too. It's not a fun thing to really talk about, is it? And you've heard the phrase before, we're just a bunch of poor, miserable sinners. Go home and share that with your family and brighten the day up. You know, you're nothing but a poor, miserable sinner. I guarantee you, it will not make your wife happy. I'm not saying I say that to my wife, but. But you know, this is why we call Good Friday good. Even though it was horrible for Jesus, it's good because of what Jesus did for us. You guys see, this is what it's all about. This is what being a Christian is all about. If Jesus hadn't done this, we're all sitting here wasting our time. But Jesus did do it. And this is what it's all about. He died for us. It's been taken care of. Our salvation is taken care of. And you know, when criminal number two, the one that stood up for Jesus, was definitely at the end of his rope. Have anybody been at that point where you feel like you're at the end of the rope? Maybe not death like he was, but feel like you just can't go on. And remember what he said to Jesus? He says to Jesus, "Remember me." So I want to encourage you, even though we are together, poor, miserable sinners, when you are feeling broken, when you are feeling lonely, used, depressed, anxiety-filled, neglected, sick, sad, whatever, Jesus not only remembers you, but just imagine Jesus is saying the same words to you that he said to this guy hanging on the cross. "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Those exact same words are said to us, because we will be with him in paradise when we leave this world. And you know, this is Jesus the King Sunday. Let's talk about him for just a second. Jesus is truly our King. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the living water, and Jesus is our brother. Jesus is the good shepherd. And the awesome thing about that is not only is he our shepherd, he became a sheep like one of us. I have a picture up on the screen. It's one of my favorite pictures. Picture of the sacrificed lamb and Jesus hanging on the cross. And this is a perfect picture to illustrate the crimson thread through the whole Bible. Because Jesus is also the Lamb of God, the perfect, without blemish lamb that was sacrificed on our behalf. And because of that, we get to be with him in heaven, and he is indeed worthy of our praise, right? Please stand and let's sing to him now.